It was Shakespeare who asked, "What's in a name?" Actually, it was Juliet. Juliet Capulet, and she was making the point that her loved one, Romeo of the hated and dreaded Montagues, could not possibly be an enemy simply because of his family name. The line she utters is, "What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet." But Anne Shirley, Anne of the Green Gables, disagrees. She said, "I read in a book once that a rose by any other name would smell as sweet, but I've never been able to believe it. I don't believe a rose would be as nice if it was called a thistle or a skunk cabbage." I think she gets it, too. I mean, names are important. They have power. And we've met people, haven't we, from time to time in our lives, especially little children, and we've thought, they're going to have a hard time living up to that name or living it down. Either way, what were the parents thinking, we may have thought. I've thought that. Naming is not the time to go weird. Or maybe it is. At any rate, names say a lot about us, about our parents, about the situations in which we find ourselves. And names can create expectations, but they also can set people free. They mean something and should not be trivialized. We're in the season of Christmas. Yes, I know it's New Year's Day, and most people have moved on already to other things. But in the church, that is in the calendar of the church, Christmas is a season that extends from December 25th to January 6th. The 12 days of Christmas is a real thing, actually. And in this season, there are a number of important events to observe and to celebrate. In kind of our social world, we jump from Christmas to New Year's to the Super Bowl. That's sort of how it goes for most people, right? But in the church, we stay a while here. We linger a bit. Christmas is the nativity. It's about the birth of Jesus. But it also includes other days in the calendar in which we remember Stephen, the first martyr, John the Evangelist, Thomas a Becket, a lesser celebration, the Holy Innocents, those were the children slaughtered by Herod, the flight into Egypt, and the visit of the Magi. These are all events that the church recognizes on certain days in the Christmas season. That's a lot going on. And if we lived in a cathedral town, or maybe even in a city with a large church that had daily services, these would be observed on the days on which they fall. There would be worship services on each of those days. We are mostly a Sunday community here, and there are good reasons for that. And so we can miss some of the richness of a season like Christmas. But there is one event in this season that, if it falls on Sunday, must be observed. And that's the naming of Jesus on the eighth day. That is the eighth day after his birth. And it's always January 1st. If it's a Tuesday, we can miss it. But when it comes on a Sunday, it's important that we take a look. And since today is the 1st of January, we have the privilege to read scriptures and consider insights that have to do with the name of Jesus, the holy name. At the end of our gospel reading today, we have it that Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day, and he was given his name, the name the angel prescribed for him, in Luke chapter 1. And if we look back at Luke 1, 31 to 33, this is what we remember. "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." In Matthew, Joseph has a dream. And in the dream, he is also told of this name by the angel. The angel says to him, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The angel is linking the name to an action. He has a name because of what he will do. He isn't just given a name, he is that name. And the name reveals this child's destiny. The name itself is not inconsequential. It actually participates in the reality that it denotes. The name, we might say, is almost a sacrament, an outward sign of something that at least initially is hidden. How many parents name their children names that they hope the child will become? A banner over their lives that might lead them to joy, or to faith, or to grace, or to victory. And these things are wrapped up in names such as joy, and faith, Susan, or Nicholas. I had a friend in college whose name was Faith Daly. Really. She said she sounded like a devotional booklet. And I'm sure that when her parents gave her that name, they hoped that it would be true for her. But she didn't find it as amusing or meaningful, and she was in hot search of a husband that could lend her a fresh start. So I think we understand it to a degree that names have this kind of power. But in some cultures, they take on an even greater power that's determinative. We see this in many places in Africa still today, where children are given names that refer to the kind of time in which they were born, or famous people in the news, or where they came in the birth order. For instance, in Malawi, I was reading this on BBC, there's a man named Gospel Mavutola. He recalls that he was actually named Misery by his parents because they were in a miserable time of their lives when he was born. But as he got older, he decided he could not live under the heading of that name, Misery, because it was actually causing his life to be miserable. So he changed his name officially. He became Gospel, Good News. In the Bible, names have this kind of power and meaning, and it's important to get behind names sometimes to understand what they're about, what they're calling forth in the one who wears the name. You're not Simon anymore, you're Peter, a rock. Jacob, who was the supplanter. David, the beloved. Ruth, the companion or friend. Mary, the wished-for child, but also means bitter. I mean, these are names that reveal, but they also determine. There's something to be lived into or to rebel against, but they have power on a number of levels. Names also stand in place for the real thing. The name meant the person. Australian poet Anne Hamilton writes that for the Hebrews, names provided a direct link with the Creator. They understood words as being the creative fire of God. So a name was really a link directly to God. You were your name. Your name was you. So when Joseph circumcises Jesus, and this would have been something that would have been done probably in the home that Joseph would have done. When Joseph makes his child, this foster child of his, one of the covenant people, showing obedience to the law, and says this name over him, he's revealing the task that would lie ahead and the true purpose of his life. As the knife spills blood for the first time, the name is intoned. A name that means Yahweh is salvation. Earlier centuries of theologians actually did far more with the theme of circumcision than we do. But it's important to note that his naming and his wounding in one event points to the cross. This is why he's come. This is why he bears the name. This is what he will accomplish. Jesus is actually a Greek translation from the Aramaic shortened form of the Hebrew word. So the Hebrew name is Yehoshua, Yahweh saves. The Aramaic is Yeshua, and Jesus is Greek. It's amazing to think that the one, the word, from whom all languages derive, should humble himself to receive a name that means who he is. And with the giving of that name, the door of Scripture opens to many other names that describe the character and the work of this child who's come. The list is long, and it's rich in description. And you even have a number of them on the front of the bulletin. The names of Jesus. Most are familiar. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Son of God, the Word, the only begotten of the Father, the Christ, the Messiah, Savior, the King of Glory, the image of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God, the man, the servant, the man of sorrows, the good shepherd, the lamb, the door, the bread of life, the true light, the rock of ages, the cornerstone, the faithful and true, the firstborn, the lion of Judah. And the name from Isaiah 59 that we gather and worship under, the Redeemer. And we're just scratching the surface when we start doing that. All of these names and all of the ones I haven't mentioned relate in some way to the Lord's salvation. And the name Jesus, the name above every name, the name at which every knee in earth and heaven will bow, that name given to that little boy, 8 days old, holds within it all of this meaning, a destiny that he will fulfill, and a name that is not just his, but is a banner of love over us, his people. And this name has become our name now, our inheritance. Acts 11 tells us that in Antioch, the disciples were for the first time called Christians. And we have in the Old Testament reading today that God will put his name on his people and bless them. The name as the church, the body of Christ, that name is ours. And we've too often defamed it. We're to go forward in that name, serve in that name, we're to pray in that name. We're to love in that name, heal and bind wounds, feed and clothe in that name, to visit the prisoner in that name, because it's not just about listing the names off and even getting all the meanings right. It's about inhabiting the truth of the name ourselves. The incarnation carried forward. To believe in the name of Jesus is to believe in Jesus himself. To offer life to others in his name is to invoke his presence. I'm not sure if parents do this anymore, but I was given the speech on more than one occasion as a teenager about my name. I don't mean Jay, I mean the family name, right? And I'm sure I gave the speech to my kids, and it's the kind of thing teenagers roll their eyes at when you say it, at least, you know. But basically, you have a good name. And a good name is important in life. And, you know, you better, you know, you're going out tonight, don't do anything that will hurt that name. Or in your school or in your work. Anybody hear this speech? Anybody give this speech? Well, in baptism, we are named. We're called. We're gifted. You know, it's interesting that as people enter the religious life, like in the Roman church, they take on a new name. And it's to signify that change. It's to signify that commitment. Well, that happens to us in baptism as well. We're placed into a family with a name, the greatest name. And we're set on a path to live out the truth of the name Yahweh saves. And we live that in all the many dimensions that it can be known. As far and wide as the cosmos is broken, we live up to the family name by the power of the Spirit, of course. We are his hands and feet. We are also that name. Origen, one of the church fathers, writing in the 3rd century, said this. He said, Christians are seen to draw their courage not from incantations, but from the name of Jesus and from the commemoration of what he has done. For by his name it has happened very often that demons are put to flight. The name of Jesus heals the afflicted in mind, puts to flight the spirits of darkness, and to the sick is an ever-present remedy. I'm not suggesting that the name is a magical thing, but it is the character and the virtue of God's salvation through his love, carried out by the obedience of the Son and the power of the Spirit, that's made present by that name. A name that's a doorway to all of the many dimensions of wholeness and redemption that the Lord provides. To call on the name of Jesus is no small thing. To serve a cup of cold water in his name is no small thing. To breathe his name on our lips when we have no other words for what we might face in our lives is no small thing. In him is salvation, and the name brings that near to us. It's the start of a new year, a new secular year, a year on the calendar, with all of the possibility and potential we can imagine. There are things from last year that we want to continue. Also things we don't, things we want to leave behind, things we don't want to know again. Some of that we have no choice about, but we can decide how we will respond to the many things around us and the many things that we will face ahead. As we start this new year, 2017, what name are we under? What banner do we place over our lives? In whose name will we live and move and have our being? Susan and I went to see a film. It's like our one film of the year that we go together to see. We see other movies, but tend to like separately, you know, because we just have different tastes in film. But Christmas, we always go to see a movie. And we saw the film Lion, which I don't know if you've seen that. I'm not going to spoil it for you. But I'll tell you what I can, and the rest you'll have to go see. But it's about a little boy, a four-year-old boy in India, in a poor family who becomes separated from his family by a series of events. And he ends up being placed in an orphanage, state-run orphanage, terrible place, but is adopted by a family in Australia, and he grows up in Australia. It didn't move me at all, just didn't. He hits that point of his life where he wants to seek out his family. And then that's the rest of the movie, so you've got to see that to see what happens. But it's interesting because the name that he has is Sharu. This is the name that he lives under because that's the name when he's 4 years old that he remembers, Sharu. What he discovers is that he's been mispronouncing it. His name is actually Sharu. Sharu, which means lion. So even without knowing it, he was living under the power of this name over him. And it's a true story. Malcolm Gait is an interesting Anglican priest, British. He grew up in two different places, and different places in the world. He's also kind of a TCK and third culture kid. And he said there was a point in his life where he had to make a decision whether he was going to be Canadian or English. And he wrote that he made the decision because he discovered real ale. And after that, he knew he had to be English. But he's a priest, but also a poet. And here's a sonnet that he wrote for today, the name of Jesus. I name you now, from whom all names derive. Who uttered forth the name of everything, and in that naming made the world alive, sprung from the breath and essence of your being. The very word that gave us words to speak, you drank in language with your mother's milk, and learned through touch. Before you learned to talk, you wove our weekday world, and still 1 week within that world, you took your saving name. A given name, the gift of that good angel whose gospel breathes in good news for all. We call your name that we might hear a call that carries from your cradle to our graves. Yeshua, living Jesus, Yahweh saves. Amen.